This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass
on Joy 94.9.
Triple bypass acknowledges that we broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging, and to any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people who are listening today. We acknowledge that this land was never ceded, no treaty was ever signed, and that it always was and always will be Aboriginal land. For this episode of Triple Bypass, we'll be joined by LA-based artist Lucy of Lucy and Lamar to talk about self-love, care and honest expression through music, also bisexuality. We'll also find out about how Melbourne-based bicon Delcy Cat is rallying to support First Nation communities affected by the bushfires currently raging across Australia and what you can do to help. So stay tuned for the latest news, conversations, updates and many, many bad puns from the biosphere. All that and more coming up on the show that puts the B in LGBTIQA+. It's Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. And now, here's Lucy and Lamar and Jesse Page with the great song, Not a Phase.
Right. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9, and this is your weekly Bisexual Plus radio takeover. That was Lucy and Lamare and Jesse Page with their song Not a Phase. We'll be joined by Lucy later in the show, so stay tuned for that. But I'm Ruby, and I'm here to bring you all the Bi-Plus goodness you could possibly want for the next hour. And as well as being joined by Lucy later, we're also going to be talking with reoccurring guest and local legend, Delcy Cat, about community activism and how you can help out with the bushfires currently happening here in Australia. Join the conversation and get in touch. Email us at onair@joy.org.au or text in on 0427 569 945. 1-800-324-949. You can also find us on our socials on Facebook at Triple Bypass, Instagram, Triple Bypass Joy, and you can email us at any time with your thoughts or some ideas for the next show or any kind of thoughts at all at triplebypass@joy.org.au. Not any kind of thoughts at all. Relevance is probably a good idea. My bad. Anyway, on the latest for Bypass community news, Australia is in the grip of an unprecedented fire season, with bushfires spreading in every state and territory and currently having burnt up in a total of over 12 million square hectares, making it one of the biggest wildfires that has been seen in decades around the world. Our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, has been quite famously absent, both in first physically while on vacation and then now recently emotionally, and has been slow to respond to one of the greatest disasters this country has ever seen. But across the country, while our government might not be, people are stepping up to fill these gaps and raise funds to and spirits to support the volunteer firefighters to get the equipment they need to be safe, to provide care for injured wildlife, and to help communities rebuild and And for folks in Melbourne, there's a fundraising event that's coming up this Saturday that you won't want to miss. Unicorns, Melbourne and Sydney's sparkliest underground queer party, is starting off the year with a stripped-back version, a Unicorns event centred around activism, fundraising and community power to allow us to come together and raise some much-needed funds to assist with the devastating reality our country is in. Strong words, Dels.
Yeah, it is.
We are joined by LGBTIQA plus and youth advocate, event organiser, founder of Unicorns, and absolute bloody bicon, Delsie Cat. Hi.
Oh, thanks for having me, Ruby.
I'm really glad we could. So can you tell us a bit more about what's happening this Saturday? It was quite a quick event.
Yeah, I literally put together it 2 days ago. Like a lot of people, I was feeling obviously really devastated about what's happening in Australia at the moment, and also feeling really lost as to how to help and support. And the one thing I know how to do is run a party, so I thought, why not get everyone together to try and raise much needed funds for First Nations communities who are obviously deeply impacted by what is happening. So I've constructed a party for this Saturday, which is super short notice, but hopefully people can make it. And it's going to be all about how we can support by raising money, but also about how we can try and activate, come together and hopefully make change. So there's going to be, it's not going to be like a normal unicorn. There's going to be slightly different. So there's not going to be any shows.
I saw it. We're not going to be making flower crowns. We're going to be writing letters to politicians.
Exactly. I want it to be all about how we can come together to make change. So yeah, instead of having a workshop on making a flower crown, we're going to have letter stations set up where people can support you to write a letter to your local MP to demand that change is being taken now.
Yeah.
There's going to be a huge raffle so people can continue to donate, and with every single dollar going to First Nations communities who've been impacted. And there's going to be a live auction. We've got some huge artwork that my lovely friend Carol Cage has been sourcing that we're going to be auctioning off on the night. And then obviously every single dollar that comes through the door based on ticket sales goes straight to the fundraiser that Neil Morris from Dreaming Now started, which is raising money for Fire Aid for First Nations communities. So yeah, it's going to be unicorns because it's going to be us wonderful queer people in a room coming together, showing solidarity, supporting each other, lifting each other up when I know a lot of us are feeling really down at the moment. But yeah, it's going to be all focused on how we can work together to hopefully make some kind of little change.
Well, I think that's part of it, isn't it? Because little changes are usually, most people can only affect a little change. That's what we can do. But as well as the change it creates outside, it also stops us from being changed, I think, by the things that are happening around us. And as you said, Unicorns is about, has always been about coming together. And As you mentioned, it's all, you know, it's not just good to be queer, it's fucking fantastic. It's about celebrating the power of our communities, and this is such an important thing for us to be doing. And it seems like from the response that you're already getting on social media, I know that you found all the volunteers you needed in a few hours.
Yeah, people are so supportive, which is so beautiful. And that's what I love so much about the Unicorns community, is that we come together and we come together to support others as well. And using whatever, you know, little power we have to uplift and support other communities. So yeah, I got enough volunteers in probably like an hour. I've so many prizes now, so it's going to be a huge job going around trying to collect them all. And yeah, I think I've only got about 100 tickets left to sell online, but I'm doing something a bit different where I'm going to leave more for the door so we can try and get more people in, so, you know, we can get as many people through the door to try and create as much cash flow as possible to pass on.
Tickets usually sell out in about 3 hours, Del.
Yeah, true. This was short notice though, so I understand it's not easy to make it, but yeah, I'm hoping for $10,000, and I'm hoping that on Monday morning I'll have 400 letters to take down to post to be, you know, demonstrating how much, you know, we're angry and we're motivated and we need people to be listening.
And for people who are listening who aren't going to be able to get there on Saturday, either because of accessibility, just geographic location, dealing with helplessness, which is a huge thing right now when there's often in a lot of the major cities around the country and in the rural areas, there's a huge amount of smoke. There's very visible signs of danger and what's happening. So it's not really, and of course, it's all over social media. It's all over the news, both nationally, state-based and international. What are some recommendations you have for people, things people can act on and do to help and support people who are being affected by the fires?
Yeah, there's lots of things people can do. So obviously, if you're in a financial position, there's lots of places you can donate. So I've chosen to donate to the Fire Aid for First Nations communities, but there's obviously lots of other places online.
That's on Crowdraiser, isn't it?
It's got a GoFundMe page.
Yeah.
And if you look up Dreaming Now, the musician's website, you'll see it linked there as well as the Unicorns page. But there's many other places that are collecting donations. It seems like there's a strong push more for money than for physical things, because it's going to be hard to distribute those. But I suppose choose a charity and make sure you read clearly where that money is going, to make sure it's going into the right hands.
I think the Red Cross has been really effective so far. They've raised about $10 million on one of their drives, which is really great.
Yeah, and also check out to see how long it takes for those money to be able to be distributed. Sometimes if it goes through a PayPal account, it can take a little while. Or through like a Facebook fundraising. But if you're not in a financial position, that's also totally understandable, but there's lots of other ways you can support by either like sharing things online so people overseas can see the devastating impact, spreading awareness, volunteering your time. I saw there's lots of nice things for wildlife that you can take part in, like sewing little mittens and things.
Kangaroo pouches for Joey's.
Yeah, but if you just look online, there's lots of ways that you can support. But one that's going to be really helpful for community, and also it can help you deal with some of the, I think, mental health implications that comes with when, you know, a whole country is going through something so harsh, so devastating. And
we did just get a message in from a listener who has basically said that they're raising money for let me just double check. So for the Gippsland region's Gippsland Emergency Relief Fund. So you can find that on Facebook. Thanks so much for sending that in. That's from one of our friends. That's from Brad in Marvellous Melbourne. Thanks, Brad. That's really great. So Gippsland is an area that's been quite heavily affected here in Victoria. You can find places to donate on Facebook. Again, check out how long it will take. I think you can also donate directly to some of the volunteer firefighting units as well, and to help them keep up supplies, because there have been issues with shortages of P2 masks, and P2 is a particular size of particle that can pass through some masks. So basically they need the masks. They're really important. There's a lot of smoke. So please check out. And I think as well, helping is not just, you do it because we all want to support and like support people through this tough time, but helping will help you, I think, is really important to keep in mind as well. It's very good for mental health and for feeling like you are not helpless in this situation.
Yeah, definitely. It's easy to get down and it can become really difficult to get out of bed when it's feeling like this is so out of control, and obviously, it's a really huge issue. But coming together as a community, I think it's a really helpful way to make change and also, you know, show support for each other and lift each other up at the same time.
So if you're around in Melbourne on Saturday, maybe just after, as an after party for the Better Together conference, for example, you should head on down to, it's at Rubik's Warehouse. You can find more information on Facebook. We'll also be posting it on our socials, so you can check all that out and see if you want to come to Unicorns and write some letters and see your friends, and just remember that none of us are alone in this. Thank you so much for joining us, Delcy. We're looking forward to hearing more about this, but right now we're going to go to another song, which is Rebel Babe by Lucy and Lemaire, featuring Bugsy, and we'll be joined by Lucy herself, so stay tuned. That's happening now on Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
The people. but hold up, there's something that I gotta mention. You're not above me, and I'm not gonna let you dumb me down. You think wherever you go, we go. Not gonna tiptoe around your ego.
That was Rebel Bay by Lucy and LaMare. You're back on Triple Bypass, the show that's here to put the B in LGBTIQA+, plus a P for pansexual and polysexual, and a Q for queer and for questioning, and an E for everybody else, because we're not about gatekeeping. Not here. No, thank you. I'm Ruby. And before, I was just chatting with Delcy Cat, who is the organizer for Unicorns and is holding a really special Unicorns event this Saturday to raise money for First Nations communities that have been affected by the bushfires currently happening all over Australia. So check that out on Facebook if you can, and come along or donate to some of the many charities raising money for this cause. Now that I'm here with Lucy. Hi, Lucy.
Hello, Ruby. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for your patience, hon. Now, I'm going to quickly run through your bio. Lucy is a Los Angeles-based artist and is part of the band Lucy and LaMare.
Yes.
And that's a welcome stage presence and distinctive style, and has been led to bookings around the world. With a focus on community activism, Lucy and LaMare focuses her message on self-love, care, and honest expression. Billboard named Lucy and LaMare in their 2018 list of 20 new LGBTQ artists to fall in love with, and her sweet, energetic performances have made her a large part of the LGBT music scene. An advocate for LGBT plus mental health, she'll be performing at Melbourne's Better Together conference this Friday, is that right?
Yep.
So you'll be closing the first day?
Yes.
That's very exciting. Now, her brand new sophomore EP, I Feel Better Now, is available everywhere where you can find music. So if you want to get in touch and ask about that, you'll be hearing some more of her songs throughout the show. But if you want to ask her any questions, or ask me any questions, or get any more information at all, please stay in touch. You can email us at onair@joy.org.au or text in on 0427-569-949. Now, it's your first time in Australia, is that right?
Yes.
And firstly, you know, this is an interesting time to be visiting Australia, so it's not usually this smoky. But also, you're here to perform at, like, what it is, basically a national gathering for LGBTIQA plus advocates. So how did that come about?
Yes, I'm very lucky. I'm very excited to be performing at Better Together. It came about through Kate, through the Sydney network, the Bi network over there. She had mentioned that she'd be going to Melbourne, and I had changed my plans from going to Sydney to only coming to Melbourne for this tour. And she said, well, you gotta come, you gotta be involved and check it out. And I hadn't even heard of it, and then I started looking up everything about it, and it just sounds wonderful.
Are you going to be attending the conference as well as performing in
yes,
the evening?
Yes, absolutely.
Excellent. And so that was through the Sydney Bi Plus Network, is that right?
Yes, just through someone I kind of met on Instagram.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Because they actually launched it Better Together last year.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, and Melbourne Bisexual Network launched the year before. It's a good launching pad for the Bi's Better Together, which is always very exciting. Now, so as we heard from one of your very first songs we played to start the show, Not a Phase, mm-hmm. You've got a bit of a theme around, like, representing bisexuality, both in your music lyrics, and I noticed also in some of your video clips where you have one where people are dating and flicking between all the different people they want to date, and there's all the different genders and everything. So have they always been a part of your music for as long as you've been performing, or has that been something that's been a bit more recent?
On a personal level, yes, but publicly, no. I typically would stick to he and him pronouns in my songwriting, simply because I wasn't out to my family or friends at that time, but it was a really wonderful shift once I was ready to be fully out, because then I could express myself in my songwriting as myself 100%. So there was definitely a shift in the way my songs came out to people.
And it sounds as well from your bio that your shift is not just about the music you're making, but the activism and the awareness raising that you're doing around community building and stuff. So how did that become such a big focus for you?
Well, at our shows, we always try to support a local community. I think it can be really difficult to go to a show, just see a band, and then you go home, which is very common because a lot of people really connect with the artist. But I think it's really wonderful when you can also involve more like group activities and having booths set up, you know, in between bands to say, hey, we're this bi community in your local neighborhood, or we're this social justice group. Come say hi to us. Come hang out with us. And just building that community that way is a really special way to reach people through music.
So you kind of turn your concerts into networking events.
Yes. Amazing. And a lot of the times they're also fundraisers. So yep. We do a big one called Love is Gay every February in LA, which is fundraising around Valentine's for the local LGBT center. And then this last year, we actually took it on the road. Me and two fellow queer bands went all over the West Coast and a few different states raising money in each city's local LGBT center. So if we were playing in Denver, we'd be raising money for Denver Youth LGBT and a local organization.
So you didn't just come out, you came out and then decided like just to put everything
full
in.
On. Yeah. All or nothing. I think I was just so so happy to feel myself, and I've always been involved in community activism and social justice beforehand, but also being able to be out and also a part of it, it's really a game changer in the way you can express yourself and how you can encourage other people to really be a part of the movement.
I know a lot of bi plus folk often, I think myself included, before we really get comfortable with our identities, we're often very good allies for the LGBTIQ plus community, like staunch allies. Mm-hmm. And so was that your experience before when you mentioned that you were already involved in these issues? Like, were you already kind of doing a bit of campaigning around queer issues or just social justice in general?
Yes, mostly environmental justice is where I started. And then as I slowly started coming out to myself, I started going to Pride, started meeting Pride groups as an ally, started, you know, tabling as an ally. And over time, I was like, all right, you know what? It's time.
Oh, wait, maybe I'm not just an ally. Yeah. Were you confused? I think that's always a bit of a loaded question for bi plus folk, but I know that often people have shared experiences talking about how they did just think they were allies for a long time and then maybe realized that, oh no, straight people don't think about girls as much as I seem to be thinking about girls.
Yes.
Or, no, I don't just really like her outfit.
Right, exactly. I think it's the concept of bisexual means you 50% like guys and 50% like girls. Like, that's not a thing. I mean, it can be if that's where you are on the spectrum, but it can be maybe, you know, 10% into females right now, and then that shifts, and then you only like females, or, you know, sexuality is so fluid. But if you don't acknowledge that, it can be very difficult to realize you are bisexual, because maybe you've dated a handful of guys and then there was this one girl that really changed everything, and, you know, maybe you just fell in love with one girl and then now you're dating guys again, and it can be hard to justify yourself as coming out also, because it's not taken very well from other people, you know.
Yeah.
The idea of it being a phase or experimenting. And I also think it's kind of ridiculous to put such negative connotations if someone is just experimenting or in a phase, so to speak. Because sexuality is beautiful and it's really important to allow yourself to, you know, follow where your affection leads you.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point, this idea that what's wrong with experimenting or what's wrong with wanting to explore. I suppose what often will come up then is how you communicate that with people, mm-hmm. and how you're communicating with anyone that you might be having a romantic or a sexual encounter with about the sense of, I don't really know where I'm at right now.
Right.
So people don't form false expectations. But it is interesting, isn't it, how there seems to be that sense of pick a label now and then stick with that one forever and ever, otherwise you are faking this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of onus on belief. And I think that idea of 50-50 men and women also, I mean, firstly, there's a lot more genders than that, and bi plus people tend to fit into and be attracted to all of them, or some of them, not necessarily all. But I think there's also, do you think there's that sense of, when it comes to expressing attraction, there's also, we're 50% gay and 50% straight, so it's always like a kind of split and a split identity that's quite hard to feel whole in when it does seem to be something that is supposed to belong in two different places.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that metaphor of, like, do you like chocolate ice cream or vanilla? And then you're like, I'm strawberry ice cream. I'm all about it. It's different, though. You know, it's its own thing, and bisexuality really is its own sexuality. It's not half straight, half gay at all.
Ah,
Yes, we're going to talk so much about this. We're going to do that right after I've quickly run through this community message. And then we're going to be listening to another one of your songs. Now, this one, Lucy, is called Blue Dress. Can you tell us a little bit about what we can expect from this song?
Yeah, so speaking of falling really hard for one particular female-identified person, this song is about, like, the light bulb moment when you're like, ah, I'm bisexual. Whoa. And it kind of just surprises you, and it's kind of just awesome. And I just wanted to write a song about how kind of wonderful and magical that is, and how you have no idea what you're doing, but you're just like so thrilled to allow yourself those feelings.
Oh my gosh. Well, you definitely want to stay tuned to listen to that. Am I right?
I'm right.
So stay tuned for Blue Dress by Lucy and Lemaire. I'll be right back after that with Lucy right here on Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. But
another house party, friend of a friend, someone we both knew. Everybody's drinking, talking too loudly. I spaced out, that's where you found me. And I don't know what it is.
That blue dress that makes me so
That's right, this is Dribble Bypass, and I'm Ruby. And that, before that, that song, that was Blue Dress by Mary and Lemaire. And I am joined, not Mary, why did I say Mary? No. It's Lucy, you're right here, Lucy. I'm so sorry.
You got it right the first dozen times, don't worry. I could be a Mary.
Mary Lemaire, it's a good like drag queen name, I think.
Ooh, that would be my drag king name.
Now, Lucy, as you are called, I hear, the rumors tell me, that was Lucy and Lemaire with the blue dress. And she's here with me right now in the studio. We've been talking about how she's flown over from LA to as part of her trip, also touring in the Philippines, and has been performing on the LGBTIQA plus music circuit. And her music, while has in the last few years, has become a lot more focused on community and LGBTI community building. It sounds like she's been extremely active in that space and she's been able to come out. So if you've just missed that first half, because it's wholesome as heck, you can check it out later because it's available as a podcast, along with every episode of Dribble Bypass, as well as the Bi-Polycast, and interviews with bi-cons, including Mara Wilson and Delsie Cat from before, are all available in podcast form on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and wherever all good podcasts are found. You can also rate and review it if you want and tell us that we're nice because I seek validation. If you want to message us at any point during the show, you can at onair@joy.org.au or text in on 0427 569 949. Lucy, I had to double check. I was in my head now. It's like, I'm going to get it wrong. Lucy, so when I was checking, I did some stalking before we interviewed you, which I think when it's an interview is just called research. I'm not sure. But when I was looking, I found that you've been performing as Lucy and Lemaire since 2015. Mm-hmm. And then Billboard's mentioned you as a new LGBTIQ artist in 2018. So we discussed before, but was that a case of being new to Billboard's or new to being an LGBTIQA plus identifying person?
That would be both. So it was the first time Billboard had written about me in the States. And it was the first time that I had publicly spoken about being bi. And it was because the context of the song, which was Rebel Babe, had just come out. And the writer was very kind, really awesome, called and he said, you know what, I'm a bisexual and I just really loved this. And so we just started chatting and I was like, oh, this is definitely in the interview. And I started to panic a little bit because I was only out to my very close group of friends in Los Angeles, but not to my family or anything. So we had a great chat, talked about the song and why I felt it was important. And it's, if you listen to it, it's not specifically bi, but if you watch the music video, you can see a bit more about that. So once we got off the phone, I definitely called my family and was like, by the way, there's an article coming out in Billboard tomorrow. Just thought I'd chat about it with you before it comes out. But it was a lot of fun. Since that time, I think it's definitely changed the career a bit more in terms of songwriting. I'm definitely focused more on queer music as opposed to just general pop and folk music. And I think they said, you know, brand new artist because I was brand new to them. And that happens a lot in music. I've been called, you know, up and coming artist since I started, you know, years ago. And I even wrote a song, I Feel Better Now, which is the title track of this EP I'm touring. Yeah. It's called I Feel Better Now. And I wrote it when I was feeling really down because I was getting a lot of really good press and that was nice. But they kept saying things like on the verge, you know, gonna be something someday. And it's kind of hard to hear that after a couple years because you feel like you're a bit stuck. You feel like you're just like, okay, thank you.
Not quite enough for things.
Yeah, that's a theme there. Yeah. Definitely a theme in the queer world.
You mentioned in the video for Rebel Babe, which is we played earlier in the show. Now, you mentioned a few times that you've actually directed a lot of the videos you've appeared in, including the one for Blue Dress, which I really recommend. It's really cute.
Blue Dress, actually, I did have a bisexual director come in for that one, Sheena Midori. Yeah.
Because we were talking about how apparently you didn't just bring in a bisexual director, you brought in a bi everybody.
Yes, yes, bi makeup artist. It was really wonderful to have so many bi individuals on the set. So the cast, the reason they were cast is because they are, you know, queer bi, like podcast host, bisexual writer, bisexual YouTuber. Gabby Dunn was the star. She's a bisexual YouTuber in the States. And bisexual dancers, and it was just wonderful to have so many bis on one set. And it was you know, it was just like a really special moment. And it wasn't, I wasn't like, we have to have, everyone has to be bisexual to be a part of this music video. But I was like, how much fun would it be if it was, you know? Because everyone kind of knew each other too. They had seen yeah. each other from like the bi community. And it was just a really special day.
Let's, and so what kind of, were there a lot of conversations happening between takes? Is that how it works on a set?
Yes. Excellent. And there were many takes because I made them all learn how to line dance. Which was also, the choreographer was bisexual. Yeah, the choreographer was, oh my gosh, she was a queer, she's like a big advocate in the bi community, so it was just really nice to have her on board too. But yeah, so they were doing line dancing, and there were many, many takes because it was not necessarily easy choreography. It was simple, but I wouldn't say it was easy. So they all got to know each other and introduce each other, you know.
Had you been in, it sounds like you've been quite involved in bi plus community to know so many people. Do you find that in, had you been in a room just with just bi people before?
I had actively looked for bisexual groups when I started to think about coming out. And there's a group called AMBI, A-M-B-I.
They march at the Pride.
Yes.
Yeah, they had the that song from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Getting
yes.
By. We play that on the show a lot.
Oh, no way. Yeah. Yeah, so we sang and danced with that group at Pride
yeah.
With all the actors on the float in LA, and it was so much fun. That was a highlight for
I've
sure.
I've seen a video of it.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, look for me. I've got long blonde hair at that point. Speaking of being bi, yes, cut all the hair off.
I got to
change colors.
Yeah, well, I'm about to ask you about that, but I was just going to say, I've also danced to that song, At a Pride, Mardi Gras thing, but
oh,
I was
awesome.
Dressed like David Bowie.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, so bi.
I think it's such a, like, it's such a unifying moment of like, I've also danced to this song at a Pride event.
Oh, I love that.
So you mentioned before about you had really long hair and you can see that in your videos and then you cut it and coloured it and that kind of being a, you know, something that we talk about a bit or joke about as being like a, almost like a stereotype for realising mm-hmm. you're queer or expressing mm-hmm. your queerness. But quite seriously, it often, I think, also is a matter of just trying to take some ownership of your image and wanting to project something that is not just digestible.
Yes.
So that was my next question, which is, has coming out changed more than your music?
Right. So in terms of appearance,
that's literally the shallow level of it, but we'll start there.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not even shallow. It's such a big part of your consciousness and yeah. how you see people, you know, it's your first impression, first appearance. And for me, it was really difficult. You know how people say you can pass as straight. It's very frustrating when you're, you know, hitting on a woman. Maybe that's an impolite way to say it. When you're flirting with a woman and she thinks you're straight because you do have, you know, I had very long strawberry blonde hair and I dress very feminine. So I'd have to be extremely direct and say, hi, by the way, I'm bi. So
By
the bi, let's get dinner, you know.
No, I think you're really beautiful in a queer way.
Yes, in a very gay way. Yeah. I like you. Yeah.
That's what badges are useful for, I found.
Right. Yeah, just put it on my shirt.
Like, hey, see how it says right here that I'm bisexual?
Make it easy.
Yeah.
It'd be
Please
nice
also
if everyone
wear a
wore
badge.
Those.
Can you wear a badge? You've got cuffed jeans and a bob, so I'm guessing.
So true.
And so since like you have come out in the last, so over the last few years, it seems to be that there's been a bit of a uptick in bi-organizing and bi-community and bi-jokes and memes and culture.
Mm-hmm.
Has that been your experience too?
Yes, definitely. I think the younger generation especially is leading the way, especially with the bi memes. Thank you guys.
Thank you so
much. They make
much.
My day. Yeah, because it's becoming more and more normal. Thank God. And I think the younger generation's also, they're finding their community online. You know, they're in group DMs on Twitter and Instagram, and they're supporting each other from miles away. Especially in the States, a lot of my like Instagram following, it's young kids. It's, you know, 12, 13, 14, and they're DMing me things like, no one else at my school is out. I'm too scared to come out. The holidays, especially in the last few weeks that I've been on tour, I've received so many messages of, I'm really scared about the holidays. I came out to my mom. I'm scared she's going to tell my aunt. I'm scared she's going to tell this person. And just like the fear around that is so, it's just very sad. But it's also wonderful to know that you can talk to people
yeah.
that aren't like right in front of you. There's such a big community growing and there's all these ways of supporting each other with funny memes, for example, you know, like those will really, really cheer you up when you're mm-hmm. feeling, you know, erased by the entire community.
It's true. That's such a good segue because we're going to go to another song, which is It Gets Better.
Now, this is again by Lucien Leme. all the songs we've been playing tonight are, and they're all really beautiful and it's very, very queer, which is so lovely. So this song, I think, after that, what you've just been talking about, doesn't really need an introduction. It gets better. It does. And mm-hmm. it's getting better all the time. Now, so stay tuned. We'll be right back to close off this show soon with Lucien Leme. But now it's also Lucien Leme with It Gets Better.
Back again, but thanks to you, I'm a seasoned traveler, and I cannot explain the types of pain inside and out. I've had my doubts, and they've had me too. Everybody says, just keep going.
Listening to Triple Bypass, the home of Joy's bisexual agenda. That was Lucien Leme with It Gets Better. I am Ruby, and I'm joined by Lucy of Lucien Leme. The Leme stayed at home, which is okay. I'm happy with Lucy. And that was a really lovely song about We've been talking a lot over the show with Lucy around her music, but also her whole journey of coming out and going from working in environmental activism and to also still doing that, but then also taking the LGBTIQA+ flag and running with it as far as you could possibly get, about how to turn concerts into community spaces, about bringing networks together and about providing for support for people who really do look for visibility and role models in a world that often still finds it difficult to acknowledge the existence of LGBTIQA+ people, especially those who are maybe 16 or younger. So anyway, if you've missed all of it, then that's okay, because it'll be up as a podcast soon on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on Podbean, and wherever you can find your podcast, it's Triple Bypass on Joy. So we are going to have to start finishing up soon, which is quite sad because this has been wonderful. But I'm going to get to talk to Lucy again because she's going to perform at the Better Together conference, which is coming up this Friday and Saturday in Williamstown Town Hall. There's a lot of really interesting bi content happening, including Robin Oakes, who's visiting, and I am chill and not stressed about that at all. Don't you worry. It's fine. I'm very nervous. It's exciting.
She's going to love you.
Oh, my gosh. Does stop. Don't say it again. So thank you. I'm imposter syndrome in my bisexuality. It's more likely than you think. But we did get a message in during the break, which was someone who's loving the Lucy and LaMaire songs tonight, but also wanted to say it's important for femme bi girls to know that they are really beautiful and valid just as they are without having to change anything about their appearance. And that's from Sarah. And that was about how I think we were talking about Lucy's experience, and I can say my experience. I had a very similar one of when you do start to come out and feel more comfortable with yourself, wanting to take a big step to kind of signal to people that you're not straight anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, we shouldn't have to change anything about our appearance. And I know that often femme queer women are erased entirely from the queer scenes. So really good point, Sarah. And no matter how femme, butch, mask femme, androgynous you are, you're bi as heck if you want to be. And that's what really matters.
Yes, I love that.
Now, Lucy, we are wrapping up, which is sad because while I do enjoy talking, I enjoy listening to, and you've been very wonderful to talk with. One of the things you mentioned in your bio, though, is that you are a particular advocate around mental health
mm-hmm.
and for the LGBTIQA+ community. So I was wondering what you see as the next steps being for how we can better understand and support the mental health needs of our communities and maybe specifically the bi community.
I think the first step is, I mean, mental health is such a widespread issue.
Mm-hmm.
I see it especially within the bi community in the LGBT scene, but overall, I think mental health needs to be addressed, and it's such a, you know, you're starting to see it online as, do you have anxiety? Do you have depression? And you see it more and more, but what we really need to do is address how we can change that. We need to destigmatize a lot of therapy and going to therapy and taking medication also if it's appropriate. And also just coming together as a community and recognizing, okay, what are the causes and how can we change this for the better as a community? And I think that starts on like a small level within each, such as like our Los Angeles LGBT Center. Like, I would love to see more bisexual specific mental health care, seeing as that's the highest right now,
yeah.
At least within, you know, in the States, bisexuals have a really high rate of anxiety and depression.
Same here. We've had some research come out in the last 2 years based on an Australia-wide survey that was showing, again, very high levels of anxiety
mm-hmm.
and a lot of issues with accessing care that they could confidently say would come without bias or stigma.
Yes, exactly.
And why do you think that, what do you think needs to change in how we talk about bisexuality and mental health? I think that's, you know, the double stigma a bit there, but often I found that even LGBTI practices or gay practices might not fully understand or still see being bi as a state of confusion or being pan as a state of confusion, which I think goes back mm-hmm. to Freud. And this is the guy who, like, you know, was all about dream theory, which can be interesting, but also in his versions, very phallic, except for when it wasn't, and that was usually when it was his dreams. And this was also the mm-hmm. person who had an unhealthy occupation with talking about our relationships with our parents and if or not we wanted to bang him or not, which is just a bit distressing,
right.
Really. So maybe don't take him too seriously, guys. I think we're past that, but what do you think, insofar as your experience with working with LGBT community spaces, and I know that in the States, the intersex community is not part of the rainbow community in the same way it is in Australia.
In Australia, we put the I in there because the intersex community is still considered to be part of the umbrella, which is, I think, an interesting continental difference. But what do you think needs to change about how the gay and lesbian and trans identifying community is talking about bisexuality and mental health? I would say they need to talk about it.
I would say they need to talk about it, yes. Step one, you know, use the word bisexual. Also, acknowledge that this is part of your community. I think I was speaking to a friend who identifies as lesbian, and the way she described it was, there's no, you know, there's no reason to not support bisexual, your bisexual friends. They're not trying to get away with anything. And I think that's the weird, the vibe that I get from a lot of other people in the community. It's that I'm trying to be a part of their community, even though I'm not really, you know, I'm half straight is the misconception. So
the bottom half or the top half, though?
That's the really important question. What kind of energy are we bringing here?
Strong bottom energy.
I get that a lot. But I think really having, because it's one huge step to be able to get the straight community to be accepting of bisexuality, but the fact that coming out and then not even having your own queer community be fully accepting is really hard on your mental health. And that's why a lot of bisexuals don't come out. Or don't come out at least until later in life, or until they've made a few bi friends.
Or until they do an interview with billboards and realize that they have to because it's about to be published.
Until they accidentally come out.
Hypothetically,
you know?
If that was to happen. I suppose, so we've talked a lot about your activism as well, but back to your music. I think you've mentioned that it's become really important to you to make music that's very explicitly LGBTIQA+. Do you think that focus on representation, where do you think that's come from in you, this very much that need to want to represent in through your art?
Well, it's this sounds a bit narcissistic, but it's the music I want to hear. If I had been growing up listening to songwriters who sang a song about, you know, a girl in a romance or someone who identified as a guy in romance, and I knew that that was okay, I think things would have clicked a lot faster growing up. And just knowing that bisexuality existed growing up would have been very helpful. So I don't necessarily sing using different pronouns just to be like, I'm so bi, look at me, I'm so bi, and I write songs, I'm so bi. It's more because I'm good with where I am now. But I do like to make sure other people have something they can listen to that identifies with where they are.
You mentioned that you're good with where you're at right now. I think often for the BIPOC community, that's a really treasured and looked to space. What kind of tips or advice would you give people to getting to be in a space where they're okay with where they are at? I think often, you know, BIPOC community, we can feel like we haven't gone far enough, or we settle for a kind of mild self-acceptance that never really moves into celebration. How did you make that jump?
Yes, and I think that's so important to talk about, the where you kind of start to accept it yourself, but you don't celebrate it. And it should absolutely celebrate. If you're bi, celebrate. It's a beautiful thing. For me, it was time and knowing that it would take time, because I was actually very depressed after I came out, because it's not like a parade shows up and everybody's super happy for you. As you see, sometimes, you know, that's all we get in the media is either it's awful and everyone hates you, or you find love and celebration. And it's like, okay, well, there's this middle ground of, okay, I'm bi, now what? And everybody's just kind of like, oh, okay. So giving it time and then finding people who also connect with their bisexuality and what they've experienced and being able to celebrate. I think finding a bisexual friend and being able to celebrate the little things with them is a really big way
to
help.
Take a friend to Pride this 2020.
Yes.
Yes. Also, if you're listening and anything we've been talking about has resonated with you, you can always seek help by calling Switchboard, which is the LGBTI support line in Victoria, also QLive in other states, and that's on 1-800-184-527. You can also go to their online chat if you go to the website, switchboard.org.au, because, mental health in the BIPOC community is something that we do talk about, and it can be maybe you've realised something about yourself, or you want to be able to talk about someone about how you've been feeling about what you've heard. You don't need to just call when it's a crisis. You can just call because you want to talk to somebody and want some support and a friendly ear, because we all deserve that, because it's what community is all about. Anyway, Switchboard's great. Lucy, you've mentioned that you've become a bit of a fixture in the LGBT music scene, so we've only got a little bit of time left to talk, but do you think that when you recognised that was going to start happening, that by making your song quite explicitly queer, you were going to be called on for very specific kinds of music events. Was that a decision you made before or after your music changed, and how have you felt moving forward on that path over the last few years?
I think it was a bit complicated right after I had come out, because my music started only appearing in queer playlists and, you know, queer blogs. And at first I thought, oh, that's interesting that it's, you know, it's only in the queer music. It's labeled queer, not just music, because, you know, I just happen to be queer, but okay. And then I started to realize, you know what, this is a beautiful thing. And by that, I also found a lot of other queer artists that I really love and a lot of other bisexual artists that I really love. So it was really wonderful.
Oh, and so your new EP has come out and is available all over the shop. Mostly, I was listening to it on Spotify earlier, and so that one...
I feel better now.
I feel better now. I just had It Gets Better, and I knew it wasn't that. This is like the Mary thing all over again. I apologize profusely. It's the smoke.
That's the message, though. It gets better.
It gets
the message.
Yeah, but I Feel Better Now is also a really lovely message, I think, because it can feel like we won't often when we're in spaces where things are feeling quite negative and not even terrible, just not good. And I think that's often the space a lot of bi plus folk live in or are expected to live in, the sense of don't celebrate. It's not about you, but don't get too happy about it. And so having songs that are very joyful about that and having spaces to come to together to celebrate that and to talk through, as you mentioned, is really, really important. And it sounds great that you've found all that. Now, thank you so much for joining us. And again, you can come and see Lucy on Saturday. You've also got a gig on Saturday, is that right?
Oh, yes. I'll be playing at Drunken Poet tomorrow night from 8 to 9, and then the Wesleyan from 6 to 8 on Saturday.
And people can find you on Instagram.
Yes, Lucy and La Mer, spelled like L-A-M-E-R, Lucy and La Mer.
And that's it for another episode of Triple Bypass. We'll be back again next Tuesday to bring you more of the Bypass agenda. And you can find every episode ever as a podcast on joy.org.au/Triple Bypass, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, wherever you get your podcasts. It's all good. And if you have a friend who'd enjoy it, let them know. That's what community is all about. Find us on our socials, Facebook, Triple Bypass, Instagram, Triple Bypass. Email us at any time at triplebypass@joy.org.au. Also, Happy New Year. I'm Ruby. This has been Lucy. Have a wonderful night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.